And share with you all kind of the process that goes into the weekly sermon. If you turn to page 12, you always begin with insights from the original text. You look at the text you're going to preach on. You look at really the basis for the message. And so insight from the original text, some of the highlights are shared with you. Then, as really the second step, you consider our confessions, some of the applicable quotations from the Lutheran confessions. As a third step, at the bottom of page 13, there are insight from other teachers. In this case, we draw from Linsky, but we're also drawing from Augustine. And then finally, you consider practical application. It's only after you've done all of that that you consider the introductory part what is seemingly part one. What's written down as part one is really the last part of what you do. So there's some background information for you, just to give you a little insight as to what goes on in sermon preparation. So I'm not going to be referring to that during the sermon, because the end project is called a manuscript, and typically you get that in the bulletin. Of course, the manuscript this week will be available on the website as always. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Colossians chapter 1, 13 through 14. The Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here's another more literal reading of that same two verses. The Father delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of the love of Him, in whom we have redemption, and some ancient manuscripts, through the blood of Him, the forgiveness of sins. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people will not argue that what is real, what is considered reality, is what we can see and what we can touch, what is detectable, in other words, to our basic senses. Buddhism, as a worldview, not really a religion per se, has some interesting ideas about the world itself. But even a good Buddhist will not cross a street if a Mack truck is coming their way, no matter who says that that truck is an illusion. Okay, so most people would say what you see is real. But is that it? Is what we see and feel the only reality? Now, strict philosophical materialists will say yes. And if it isn't matter, like molecules and atoms, then it doesn't matter. Because all that is real is only physical, only material. But does such a position even hold in a logical way? It's absolutely astounding that when one takes inventory of the major world views and world religions on planet Earth, billions and billions of people say that there's more to reality than just what you can see. There is something else. There is something more. There's something else that is real. We all know that. The Word of God totally and utterly affirms that, by the way. Scripture teaches that when you struggle, when you battle against anything in your life, anything that causes you concern or stress, anything that you worry about, anything that angers you or that you might be afraid of, then Christian, take stock. Take inventory. Make sure that as you evaluate whatever that thing is, that you are not limiting your approach to what is real and what is confronting you just to what you see, just to the people around you. It's not that simple. There's more to reality. Consider, for example, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, in this case the heavenly, the unseen places. The unseen places. Or consider when Elijah prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened so that he would see the army, horses, and chariots of heaven. This is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. When Elisha's servant went out to look at the enemy army that had come upon them, he was shaking in his boots. He was so upset and afraid of what was going to happen to him and Elisha, that they would be destroyed. So Elijah prayed, open his eyes that he may see. That prayer was answered, and the servant of God, the servant of Elijah, opened his eyes. He saw his eyes, the greater reality, the complete reality. But we play around with silly ideas, don't we? Maybe the world really is like the Matrix. Maybe we're living in an elaborate computerized program, and all that we see is just pre-programmed stuff. I kid around with my wife, because have you ever noticed how often you might say something, and if the TV is on, a split second later, the same word is spoken on TV? That's just weird. But maybe it's because of the Matrix. Recently, there have been some very interesting, deadly serious journal articles on modern day theories of what amount to modern day scientific philosophical idealism. What we call door, snake, truck are just mental constructs that enable us to survive. Evolutionary, seeing what we need to see constructs that we see but aren't necessarily really what we think they are. Ironically, such ideas deny reality. Yes, what is created includes the physical, but when the Lord created people, he gave you and I not just bodies, but spirits. We have a spirit. And that spirit makes us who we are. Our spirits lead our bodies to do what we do. What is inside leads the outside. But if we ignore reality, brothers and sisters in Christ, we only hurt ourselves. Last week, I had a colonoscopy for colon cancer screening. I could have avoided it. And after drinking that stuff that you have to drink, I kind of wish I had avoided it. I could have acted as if nothing is wrong, when there could be. But the only way I can find out is through the medical procedure and the pathology report, in order to get a better picture of the full reality. This is also true in human communication. Talk to the children about their thoughts being real just now. We have information in us, and this information is morphed into thoughts. The thoughts that affect us deeply in our lives. Thoughts that can't be weighed or dissected, and yet those thoughts are real. They affect our marriages. They affect our families. They affect all of our relationships. And if we're having a problem in a relationship, we won't know the reality of the situation until those thoughts are revealed, until we get a better picture of reality. There's nothing like, therefore, open communication with gentleness and respect. Don't forget the last part, with gentleness and respect. But if we never get those thoughts, we can't, again, know reality. There's a saying, ignorance is bliss. But people of God, ignorance can kill you. It's important that we are living in view of all that is real. Our epistle from Colossians is about the full picture of reality. And it has immense ramification for our lives, Christian. Yes, there is the physical realm, but there is also, according to God's word, one, the domain or authority of darkness. That's real. And two, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's real. So yeah, it's easy to live in the part reality of what you see, but how are you doing in response to the rest of reality, Christian? How are you mindful and guarding against the domain of darkness, for instance? How are you living in response to the kingdom of Jesus Christ that, according to God's word, blesses every aspect of our lives? How are you living in regards to not going along with the ignorance is bliss game? God wants you to know the full reality. Colossians 1:13 reveals that you have been delivered from the domain and authority of darkness. This is your new reality as a baptized Christian. This darkness is horrible and monstrous. In itself, this domain has more power than any single one of us. And it's only by the Heavenly Father that we are delivered from that domain, by the way. But it is a force, a capacity, a mastery, a delegated influence, a jurisdiction of power. It is to be completely dominated by it, if that's the only other reality we know. What does it look like? It takes on many forms. But one of those forms of the domain and authority of darkness is the form that we have recently seen in our cities this past week. Gun violence from some police and from some citizens, rousing extreme fear in our country. Other countries are actually giving travel warnings to their citizens about coming to the United States right now. This is not just a physical. The enemy, the devil, and his demons desire sheer destruction. We need to understand that. People talk about ghosts, and we are desensitized to that whole thing about ghosts. You know, you hear about Knott's Berry Farm in Ghost Town. Come and have a good time riding the roller coaster. But that domain is real. And the ghosts or the demonic don't sit around kicking back, listening to tunes, having a party. They are active in trying to destroy you. What do they want to destroy? They want to destroy everything. The destruction of your body, of your soul, of your city, of authority, of religious freedom, of marriages, of unborn babies, of God's good creation, changing male and female to gender neutrality, of families, of churches, of order, of good music, of good books, of sound minds. The enemy wants to destroy everything that is good. That's what he does. This is darkness, and this domain is real. There's no sense in hiding under a mushroom. But it's absolutely fascinating that in this particular context in Colossians, that darkness has a domain, but not a kingdom. It has a place, but not that ultimate place. It is relegated underneath a superior reality, a more predominant and a more powerful one. The one is called the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Our chief response right now to a culture and a country that is hurting and afraid is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to those full of fear and discouragement by the domain of darkness. We are to tell of what God has done about racism and fear and violence. All sin behind these was heaped upon His Son, Jesus Christ, so that racism, fear, and violence of all humanity would be cast into death when Jesus died for the sins of the world, covered by His redeeming blood, which buys people back from living in fear and darkness and living into the forgiveness of sins and hope and salvation. People need to see other people, namely Christians like you, who not only say they believe this, but live it out. Live it out. How can we? We begin by taking stock of reality. Colossians 1:13 also teaches that the baptized Christian has been translated into the kingdom of Christ. Not only have you left one domain, but you have entered into a new domain in the kingdom of our Savior. My son has the good fortune of playing for the Orange Lutheran High School basketball team, freshman team. And one of the great things I get to see them do is pray before the games and pray after the games. They're living in their translation into the greater reality. Not just a sport, not just athleticism, but their spirits. And in this kingdom, you're protected from the domain of darkness. At VBS, one of our Bible stories to the children was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say their names real fast, 10 times. They refused to worship the false god that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. What's so fantastic about this account was the way they prepared for martyrdom. They told Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace. But you know what? Even if he doesn't save us from the fiery furnace, we'll get the word right, we're still not going to worship that idol. We're ready either way, because we know the greater reality. The kingdom reality response to the domain of darkness is what counts, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You've been equipped by the Holy Spirit in baptism. You have what you need to be protected in your life. Are you confronted by the demonic? Never laugh about that, because it's real. Then pray and fill your house with the Word of God. Is your marriage threatened? Then clothe yourselves with humility and serve your spouse with unconditional love. Throw out that whole 50-50 baloney. Serve your spouse with unconditional love. Are you struggling with your children? Be strong and courageous and love them with the law and the gospel. And make sure every time you might give a word of correction, you give a word of unconditional love and encouragement. For every confrontation you have from the domain of darkness, shed the light of the kingdom of Jesus upon it. Pray. Be salt and light for this nation. Be part of the solution. Do good works to build unity between people living in this great country, serving all people with unconditional love, because that's how Jesus loves us. Regardless of race, background, affiliation, sexual preference. For the Christian, we serve unconditionally. When we engage in works of love and service in this world, we demonstrate what our Lutheran confessions call Christ battles. Battling the domain of darkness that is in this world. And when Jesus battles, you know who's going down, and it's not Jesus. All of the Lord's kingdom resources are yours, dear Christian. And it's all because he's purchased you through his blood from the domain to the kingdom. The Large Catechism teaches on how we ask for this kingdom daily in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, thy kingdom come. Quote, here we ask that his kingdom may come. Just as God's name is holy in itself, and yet we pray that it may be holy among us, so also his kingdom comes of itself without our prayer, and yet we pray that it may come to us. That is, we ask that it may prevail among us and with us, so that we may be part of those among whom his name is hallowed and his kingdom flourishes. The Christian counters hatred with love. The Christian counters alienation with reconciliation. The Christian counters violence with service. The Christian lives the truth of the greater reality, and they know the truth. To be saved, we know, as our confessions say, is nothing else than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil, and to enter into the kingdom of Christ and live with him forever. Unquote. You live this way because you have the forgiveness of sins. You have forgiveness, which means remission. You know what that means? Be clear about it. God has sent your sins away so far that he will never see them again. They're gone. And with translation into this kingdom, we have the ability to see complete reality. This redemption of Christ means that he suffered for us, and this means a passing over. Death and darkness have passed over you, so that we have passed over from the devil to Christ. And as Augustine said, from this tottering world to the Lord's most solidly established kingdom. And therefore we pass over to God, who endures so that we may not pass over with the passing world. Unquote. You know your reality. What you see, yes. What you are attacked from in that darkness of domain of darkness, yes. But most importantly, you know the victory of Christ's kingdom. Yes. In this way, you are more than safe, Christian. You share in the victory of the Redeemer. You are called to be light in the world and salt to the earth. Live in the greater reality. See reality for all that it is in Jesus, who has redeemed it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.